Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Terry Fontenot met with the media up in Flowery Branch today. End of season press conference, as they always do, wrapping it up. We played you the Kirk Cousins clip, the sort of the money quote so far from the whole thing, which was, we'd be happy moving forward with him as the backup. Right thing to say. They honestly, just take it for what it's worth. That would be fine.
Yeah.
Like, if Kirk Cousins was the backup for Michael Penix next year, pretty decent backup option to have.
No,
better than most teams' backup.
He'll be the best backup in the league.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Probably, yeah.
As long as he doesn't play like he did against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Like, he comes back a little bit from that. But, yeah, I mean, if that is what actually happens, it's not the worst thing in the world. I just don't think it'll happen. Yeah, it just doesn't happen that much. You know? It just doesn't happen very often. You know what I mean? Like, not to say that it couldn't.
I don't think he is one of those dudes, but I'm forcing my way the hell out of here.
Yeah,
I'm forcing my way. I'm not saying he's built like that or anything like that.
I don't think that that's a criticism.
No,
being built like that would be a criticism.
I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, I think he'll do it in the most polite way that a person can do it. But that man views himself as a starting quarterback
in the
NFL.
Yeah, like the polite way, like back in those old duels where dude would take off his glove and slap the dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him.
It'd be like that.
Yeah, it's like he'll slap you with his glove.
I challenge you to a duel. That's what he's going to do. But he doesn't want to be the backup quarterback.
No.
He wants to be a starting quarterback for another team. And, I don't think it'll get ugly just because the parties involved are, you know. But if it has to get ugly, like, Kirk's agent is not scared to muddy it up.
He is not.
Like, you're gonna get what he wants.
Yeah.
Like, I would be, honestly, just sort of predicting what happens from here. We kind of talked about what we think will happen from the Falcons perspective. I wouldn't be surprised if Kirk Cousins starts week one for some team next
year. But I'm just saying, like, I'm not giving Kirk Cousins 10 more millions of my dollars.
No.
You gotta go.
Yeah.
You gotta go.
But you don't get $10 million roster bonuses to be the backup quarterback.
It never happened.
No.
You
can't do that.
No, you have to go.
Yeah.
And he will be like, all right, well, let me go. Well, we got a trade partner. No, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, not interested because he has a no trade clause.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is like the teams that might want to trade for him are also the teams that would want to sign him in free agency, too, right?
Yeah.
So if he goes to free agency, I guess he has his pick at that point. But, like, you know, it's not like he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Chiefs, you know? Like, he's not going to be the starting quarterback for a good team next year.
Right.
The teams that would be interested in trading for him are the same teams that would be interested in signing him, and that would be Cleveland, if they don't figure it out, right? Like, the Raiders, I guess, if they don't draft a quarterback.
Right.
Gap quarterback year, maybe with the Giants, like you talked about, maybe what their plan is. Like, it would be a situation like that.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a good situation. It'd be a situation like that. Anyway, here's Terry Fontenot talking about how nobody's happy about the way things went.
I'll start out by saying how disappointed we are in the result of the season. A lot of people put a lot of work into this, from the players, the coaches, the entire staff, everybody in the building. A lot of people put in a lot of work. And so when this is what the result is, nobody's happy about that. Most importantly, we're disappointed for our fans. We know all the support that they give us, and we know you deserve better. It's our job to get right into this offseason process and look at every aspect of everything that affects football and make sure we're doing everything we can do this offseason to put us in position next year to win more football games.
I don't think it's going to make anybody feel better.
No.
But at least he said it.
Yeah.
And he's right.
Fans
deserve better than that.
They do deserve better than that. I mean, that is, you know, I know how when you felt about it, but I'm not mad that people had expectations for this team.
No.
I'm not mad that people got excited for this team, because you're supposed to. You're supposed to be excited about it. If you're not excited about it, then why?
Yeah. There's always, like, different layers of lying to yourself that you have to do leading into a season.
Yes.
If the team's really good and the roster's really good, you don't have to lie that much.
Right.
If the team's not any good, you lie to yourself a little bit more. But you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get yourself where you need to be when the season starts to convince yourself that, well, everybody's 0-0.
Yep.
Everybody's got the same chance. No, they don't. Some rosters are better. Not everybody has the same teams. But I understand what you're saying. Yeah. But here's the thing, though. Like, and this is what I always tell people whenever we do, you know, you do some of these interviews when something big happens here and you talk about the Falcons in different markets and all that kind of stuff. People talk about the fans sometimes because I think sometimes, I think a lot of times the national media misinterprets what the Atlanta fans are like or what Falcons fans are like.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that the Falcons still have fans is because Falcons fans are great.
Yes.
If they weren't, they would quit by now.
Exactly.
Because they haven't been doing anything to earn it. Mm-mm. And it's been going on not just for these 7 years they missed these playoffs.
It's been going on for
50 years. Like, anytime anybody calls in who's been around for a long time, they've got stories that go back to the 70s of heartbreaks that they've had. Like, the only reason the Falcons still have fans is because they're diehard.
Yes, they are. And those are the ones that you love, man. You love those because, you know, I think that the ultimate disappointment is, you know, the letdown of having expectations when in the back of your mind that expectations are like, but they are this team. It's always in there, and it has to always be in the back of that for a fan base like this, like the Falcons. So yeah, you're disappointed for letting those people down and everything. And right now as we stand, and it could be completely different when we get up there in July for training camp. The fans will be back, able to come back and watch practice and everything like that. The hill will be open and all those different things. And so we're talking right now. It's early January. In July, late July, whenever training camp starts and we're up there, it's going to be energy.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be fun.
We'll all be back.
It's going to be love.
Everybody will be back by then.
Yeah, but that's why I said earlier, I'm glad that you didn't hear from Rob. You didn't hear from any of the players. You didn't hear from Terry today about the positivity going forward. Let's handle this disappointment and everything right now. And then, again, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow as far as, you know, a news dump on a Friday or something like that. But let's go on tomorrow. Monday morning, we got to get to work.
I will say, if you were ever going to news dump, like if you were going to fire a guy after you had all your media availability, just, you know, for the sake of argument, doing it on a Friday in the middle of a snowstorm would be a pretty good time to do it.
Yeah.
If you're just going to move on from your defensive coordinator or something like that.
Right.
Because he didn't want to answer questions about it today or on Monday when you met with the media. Tomorrow would be a good day to do it because by the time they meet with the media again after that,
it'll be draft time, it'll be
months later. Yep. They probably would have moved on from Cousins by then or whatever they would have done. There'll be five other things that are bigger stories than moving on from the defensive coordinator.
Correct.
You would have hired your new defensive coordinator by then, all that kind of stuff.
Because if you're going to do this, the good ones are all interviewing this week for other jobs. So if you're going to find John, get one of those guys, you need to go ahead and get on it.
What's the argument for keeping him? Like, we did this on Monday for Fontenot and Raheem.
What is the argument for keeping Jimmy Lake? I don't know if there is one.
It's hard to come up with one.
Yeah, it's really hard. But
I guess my argument would just be, like, firing him kind of is a little bit of scapegoating.
Yeah.
Just because that side of the football, we talked about it at the beginning of the year. Like, you know, even after they added Judon and Justin Simmons, like, still, to me, the ceiling for this team, and this is before we knew Kirk Cousins was going to fall off a cliff, the ceiling for this team was based on the limitations of the defense.
Yes.
The defense was limited even with those additions. We didn't know quite how bad it was going to be at times. But the personnel that they put together on the defensive side of the football was nothing to write home about.
No.
Now, it was worse than expected at different times. Like, you had guys in the secondary just flat out couldn't tackle.
Right.
You had three different defensive backs that were top 10 in the NFL in terms of missed tackles, including A.J. Terrell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think he got better as the season went on. But, I mean, you know. Like that, I guess Jimmy Lake could teach them how to tackle better.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But like,
what would he be?
It all comes back to me to who's on the roster on that side of the football.
And that's
you got to improve.
So that's what you're like. Well, what would it be like if he had better players or something like that?
It would be better.
Would the defense be better? Would his job be easier? Yeah, probably. That's why I go back to your original point, though. Somebody got to pay for this.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, somebody's got to pay for what happened this year. And it's not going to be head coach. It's not going to be the general manager. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be offensive coordinator. It's probably going to be the special teams coach.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Jimmy Lake.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Special teams wasn't any good this year.
Oh, Jimmy Lake.
Yeah. There was a.
That just seems like it.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And then
too.
It goes back to, all right, now do you make other adjustments to your staff? You know, offensively, do you go find. Because And the other irritating thing was, you know, he had asked the question about Kyle, and he's like, it's our job to help him. And no, it's his job to help his damn self.
Yeah, man.
It's his job.
You guys have done everything you can to help him.
It's his job. Now, they don't use him enough, in my opinion, but sometimes that could be from because they don't trust you out there.
Right. I think at this point, that's got to be part of it,
yeah,
right?
Like, they don't trust you out there.
If this was like early year two after he went for 1,000 yards, like, man, why aren't you getting him more involved? This is late year four. It's like, yeah, we get it. You see what it looks like when he's out there a lot of times.
So,
you understand.
I mean, they're going to figure that out. But, yeah, it's going to have to be – it's something that – like, they just can't stand pat. They can't. They got to figure out something. You know, I'm not saying that because it'll satisfy people. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, okay,
yeah.
Here we got to satisfy the masses. Here, right. we'll give you this guy right here. No, it's got to be that because you just need better.
Yeah. Like, it will satisfy people if those folks get fired because people are you know, you want your pound of flesh and all that kind of stuff because the season didn't go well. But that's not why they're, at least I hope. If a team's doing stuff like that to appease angry people on social media, you got bigger problems than what happened on the field. You got to make changes because what happened on the field wasn't good enough.
Exactly.
So, you know, everybody always wants a coach to come out and trash a guy, but like, that's not really how it works. That's not really good business. That's not really good coaching. You have to protect what's going on inside there because you work with those guys every single day.
Right.
As good as it might feel to come out and yell at a guy publicly and trash him and all that kind of stuff, you can't do that.
No.
You can't do that.
No.
Because you need him to play.
Exactly.
You need him to block next Sunday.
Yeah.
So you need
that goes back to, like, we talk about accountability and things like that. Like, the one thing we always talk about, the players know. The players know. And you can be as cool with the player on the team as you want to and everything like that. His teammates looked at him like, damn, dog. There's no. Now, these players are different now. Believe me, they are different. When I hear people talking about, we're having a problem with players being late a lot and everything like that.
Yeah, I heard that in Miami.
Like, what do you mean players are late?
Yeah.
What the hell do you mean you're late?
Like, first of all, you're a pro. But also, who's a vet in there that's laying down the law?
And that's exactly my point.
What are we doing?
Who the hell? Where's the leadership at? We didn't play that. We didn't play that being late. We're like, well, people are always like, the good players were never late. The leaders on the team, we were never late. Now some of them young whippersnappers, they be late. But you know what we do? We get in their ass.
Yeah, late once.
Yeah, you late one time.
Yeah,
I've never had a teammate that was always late. Have I had a teammate that was late for a year? Was he mostly a young guy? Yeah. Did we get in his ass? You damn right we did.
It's a different day.
You damn right we got in his ass.
It's a different
day. And me as a young player, I was never late.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about it wasn't one of the things where I was running into the building. No, my ass was there.
Do the easy stuff.
Show ass up.
This applies to life. All right, maybe you're not the most talented. You can be on time.
Like,
maybe you're not the most talented. You can work hard.
Man, I'm late.
You can be polite. You can, you know what I mean? Get the easy stuff right.